Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
February 21st, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, the new age of RAW. Well, welcome back to show number 20 this week. So we're really rolling along, and you'd think after 20 episodes we'd start to run out of things to talk about, but I have to tell you, digital photography is so exciting right now, and there's so much to investigate and so many new things happening that I don't think that we're ever going to run out of things to talk about. So this week I want to talk a little bit about RAW files, because things are really changing in this area, and it's really worth an update to sort of see where we are in 2006 with all the new tools that we have for really making RAW files as easy to work with as JPEGs. And this is pretty exciting stuff. So I want to delve into that a little bit more today. And I think this is actually a topic that I'm going to continue to revisit, because it's really an area that's changing a lot and changing for the better. And it's time for us to revisit and see what's going on here. A couple other notes, just in terms of what's happening right now. You know, coming up at the end of this month is the Photo Marketing Association show in Orlando, Florida, otherwise known as PMA. And this is a really, for me anyway, probably the most important, at least hardware show for photographers during the course of the year. There are all sorts of really terrific shows going on over all of 2006, but PMA to me is the show where photographers get to look and see what's coming out new from Nikon, Canon, Olympus, Panasonic, all, you know, all of them, plus all the stuff that supports photographers. You know, for instance, Adobe just has a really big presence at the show and has all sorts of things to talk about. And, you know, one of the big things that they're going to be discussing at PMA, of course, is Lightroom. And that's one of the things I'm talking about today. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do my reporting for PMA. Haven't quite got my head around it yet, but I will try to keep you informed as to what's going on. And one of the things I want to mention right now is that if you're thinking about buying any new gear, you might want to just sort of hold off until after the show to see what's announced, because there will be major announcements. And one of the things that I think we're going to see, just in terms of digital SLRs and cameras in general, for instance, if you have your eye on a digital SLR right now, chances are that either that model or one of the companion models will be upgraded, and we'll start to see things like bigger LCD screens across the board, maybe some new functionality. You know, I think not so much more megapixels. I mean, there will be some megapixel boosts in certain areas, but I think the megapixel wars for the moment have calmed down, because now that we're at, you know, 8 to 12 megapixels, I think that that's enough for most photographers to work with, and we don't really need to keep pushing that up. And in fact, more megapixels beyond a certain point just becomes too much data for us to handle. And unless we have a real need for it, it's sort of overkill and ends up putting strain on our CPUs and our hard drives and all that stuff to manage all this stuff. So I think the megapixel thing is going to settle down a little bit. But I do think now we're going to start to see some refinements in other areas. And that's pretty exciting stuff. So if you're thinking about buying a new camera, hang on just a little bit. Let's see what happens in Orlando at the end of the month. We'll all on the Digital Story site, we'll kick this around and help you get your head around maybe what's the best next move to make. Okay, another real quick thing. I just want to mention the photo assignment. And remember that it's fur for this month. And that the end of this is the 21st. So you only really have another week. And so hope you got your thinking caps on. And hope you're working on a photo assignment so that an entry so that we can have a nice lineup like we did last month for ICE. And I'm also going to. Maybe with this show, if you have a suggestion for a topic for the March show, go ahead and post it in the comments field for the show notes for this show. And so I can start mulling that over because before you know it, March will be here and we'll be working on something new. All right, let's get to RAW. Now, the thing about RAW files, and I'll just do a quick review and then on the show notes, I'll point you to some resources if you want to bone up on this file format. And for most folks, this is the alternative file format that you have on your digital camera to JPEG. Everyone has JPEG. Every digital camera has a JPEG format. It's a great format. Has lots of advantages. One of them being that you have usually increased burst mode. With JPEG, you can shoot more shots in a series of shots with it. And up until just recently, JPEG files have been a lot easier to handle than RAW. But that's changing, and that's really one of the things I want to talk about today. RAW, on the other hand, there's less in-camera processing of the file than with JPEG. JPEG comes out of your camera basically a fully baked file. It's ready to go. All of your adjustments have been that you called out in your camera, your white balance, everything have all been applied to it. And what comes out is like the Martha Stewart thing where, she's making the dough and everything. And then she turns around and goes over to the oven and pulls out a loaf of bread. And that's what your JPEG file is. It's that loaf of bread that comes right out of the oven, ready to eat. RAW, on the other hand, there's still more work to do with the file. It has captured a lot of really valuable image data from the shot. And depending on, the camera manufacturer, that sometimes is handled a little bit differently. And that's part of the reason why we see different file extensions for different RAW files. You see NEF extension for Nikon, certain Nikon RAW files, and for the current Canons, you see .cr2, and on and on and on. And so these are very, very specialized formats tied to the image sensor and the hardware and firmware inside of your digital camera. And you have a lot of information to work with. This is one of the really great things about RAW files. You have, JPEGs, by definition, you have 8 bits of information. And you have more bits to work with RAW files, 10 or 12 bits, which allows for, finer detail and gradations and things like that. The problem with RAW up through basically 2005 was that there wasn't really an easy workflow for RAW files. There was some great software to interpret them and to make them turn that data into a pretty picture, Adobe Camera Raw being at the top of my list, although other really great things, Phase One and other competitors. But basically, you had to do a lot more work. You couldn't just take your files and suddenly look at them and send them off as an email attachment or upload them to a web page. You had more steps to go through. Even though you could potentially end up with a better rendition of the picture that you took as a result of those steps, you still had more steps. What's happening now, and I'm going to focus on two applications that really represent this new wave of RAW, although there are others too, but Adobe Lightroom and Apple Aperture being the two that I'm most familiar with and working with the most right now. And there's Light Zone and other good stuff also that's very notable and worth taking a look at. But what's happening now with Aperture and Lightroom is that you're able to shoot in the RAW format, and then you upload those pictures to your computer. And then instead of having to go through kind of this clunky workflow that we had before, and granted, the notion of a clunky workflow is really debatable. This is one thing that I've noticed talking to photography experts. Some people, in all honesty, don't feel that working with Adobe Bridge and going into Adobe Camera Raw and then saving it out as a Photoshop file and then putting it into your digital shoebox and all that, they don't feel that that's clunky, and they're actually quite happy with that. So this conversation isn't really for those folks, because they sort of have found something that works for them and they're happy with it, and there's really, you know, no need to look at anything else. And believe me, that is perfectly fine. That's one of the great things about photography as both an art form and also as, you know, a historical medium, is that there are so many different ways to do things. And if you find something that's working for you, by all means, stick with it. But for some of us, and I kind of fall into this category, I wasn't really happy with the workflow that I had for RAW prior to Lightroom and prior to Aperture. I felt that it was a little clunky, and I never quite found that streamlined flow that I really wanted and that I had with my JPEGs. And so consequently, I was shooting RAW maybe 50-60% of the time and shooting JPEGs the rest of the time, especially when I really felt like I had to work fast. So I've been working with Apple's Aperture, and I've been working with Lightroom. And by the way, there's a new version of Lightroom out, a new public beta that you can download. I'll put the link in the show notes, but public beta 2 is out, and they've made some nice improvements. This is an application that's going to continue to evolve over the course of the year. Right now, it's still Mac only, but there's a note on the Adobe site that says that, you know, they're working on the Windows version. And I think when it's all said and done and they're ready to do the box release of Lightroom, that my guess is that both the Windows and the Mac version will come out at the same time. So even if you're primarily a Windows user, but you have access to a modern Mac, you might want to download Public Beta 2 and start playing with it, because really what you're going to be looking at are a lot of the same things that you're going to see in the Windows version. Anyway, what these two applications do is they allow us to upload our RAW files into the application, and then suddenly you can just start working with them. You don't have to go to an outside application. You can make your image adjustments. You can do your cropping. You can play with all the tools, especially all the basic percent, what we call the 80% of the tools that you need, that most photographers need, right there within the application that you're using to organize your pictures and to add keywords and to make prints from and to generate web pages and to do all the stuff that you like to do. You know, basically one box, and you can do everything. What's so magical about this new age of working with RAW files is that while you're working in the application, it really doesn't feel any different than if you're working with a JPEG. In other words, you don't have to pull up this third-party thing to adjust the white balance in the RAW file. You can just adjust the white balance within Aperture, for example, and it feels just like you're doing, you know, a normal image edit. What's happening underneath the hood is that Aperture has, I'll focus on Aperture for a second. What Aperture is doing is that it has taken your original RAW file, and it's generated a thumbnail for you, so you can see what the picture looks like. And then when you view that thumbnail, either by hitting a V to view it, or F, you know, the F key to bring it up into full screen view, is that on the fly, Aputure actually decodes that image data, that raw image data, and generates a picture for you based on certain parameters that Aputure has determined, you know, gives you a good starting place to go. So every time that you click on a thumbnail in Aputure to view it as a larger image, Aputure on the fly is decoding your raw file for you and presenting you with something to look at. Now let's say that you change the levels adjustment. You say you want to, change the shadow detail a little bit, you know, maybe bring in the highlights a little bit, maybe move the gamma a bit, and, you know, to make this picture look a little bit more the way that you'd like it to look. So what Aputure does is that it, while you're doing that on the fly, it applies those adjustments that you're making, and it saves them as data, XML data, which is very, very small, in terms of file sizes. And it associates that data with the original raw file that you have in there. So you have your original file, which is, you know, rather large, you know, megabytes in size, and then you have the data that's associated with it based on your edits, and that could be cropping, whatever, color temperature, whatever you're doing, and it saves that little bit, and that's just kilobytes of size, very, very small amount, and it remembers it. And in fact, you know, one of when I demo Aputure, one of the cool things I like to do is, you know, do a crop, and then, you know, when you hit return, of course, it crops it just like we're used to, and you know, the stuff that you didn't want in there sort of disappears. But to demonstrate how it's all it's done is really created data to go along with that file, if I choose the crop tool again in Aputure, then what it shows me is not only the area that I've cropped out, but it shows me the data to the sides that I had discarded, which I had really thrown it away. All I had done is really sort of hide it, which means I can recrop or do whatever, and or even, you know, call off the crop altogether. So this is really exciting. Then when I go to output the picture, and that could be creating a web page or exporting it out as a JPEG or a TIFF or a Photoshop file, or, you know, putting in a movie, whatever I want to do with it, what Aputure does is then it applies that information, that editing information that I've created. It applies it to the raw file. It generates a picture in the format that I've asked it to, let's say JPEG, and then it puts it where I want. Okay, and it does the same thing with printing and other forms of output. So it's always going back to the well. It's always going back to the source. And then it starts with the source. It applies my directions to it. And then it outputs it according to the parameters that I've asked it to. It doesn't create another really big file. Okay, let's say if I want to have five different versions of this raw file, five different crops with different exposure adjustments and all that. It doesn't create like five big TIFF files or five big Photoshop files. It only creates five sets of instructions that are only kilobytes in size. Now, this is a huge difference because before, at least the way that I worked, if I were to work in Adobe Camera Raw, once I would read the raw file and apply the instructions that I wanted, then Adobe Camera Raw would save that information, in my case, usually as a Photoshop file, that was very large in size, okay? Much, almost as large in size as the original raw file itself. So that if I wanted to have five different versions of that raw file, I would essentially have another five big files to manage in addition to the original RAW file that I had on my hard drive. And you can see that if you're dealing with a lot of RAW files, this space issue would really add up. Lightroom is doing something very similar, although it does it in a much different way. Aperture is actually using RAW file interpretation that's built into the Mac operating system. So, for instance, Aperture and iPhoto are both, you know, calling to the same parts of the operating system, you know, to interpret the RAW files. What Lightroom is doing is that it's actually using the Adobe Camera Raw engine, a refined version of it, to render your files and to apply your adjustments. I think this is one of the big attractions to Lightroom for people that like the Adobe Camera Raw interface, because they can stay right there within Lightroom. They don't have to go outside to Adobe Camera Raw and have all of their favorite tools. Yet Lightroom still has this very intelligent way of applying instructions to the original RAW data and then giving you output options for it. So it, and even though it uses a different engine and different tools, the thinking is very similar to what we're seeing with Aperture. The upshot for you is that suddenly you can start shooting RAW files and work within basically an application that you're doing all of your other work, and not have to have this sort of clunky workflow that was forced upon us before. Now, if you want, for instance, in Aperture to take that, to export that RAW file in its original state and then open it up in Adobe Camera Raw and work with it, and then save it as a Photoshop file, and then bring that Photoshop file back into Aperture and put it alongside the original RAW file, you can still do that. To me, that's sort of undermining the thinking of Aperture's application, because instead of, in that case, instead of just having a little bit of XML data for your interpreted RAW file, you actually have another big, you know, Photoshop or TIFF file. And that, you know, takes up more hard disk space, so on and so forth. But it's good to know that if you really want to do that, you can. And there are instances when, if you really want to work an image, that you'll want to save it out as a 16-bit Photoshop file and do some layer masking and do some of the really great tools, use some of the really great tools that you have available to you in Photoshop to work specific areas of your shot. This sort of leads me, though, to, you know, this is called the New Age of RAW Files, this podcast. But I think there's also a new age of digital photography that is coming as a result of these tools. And what I mean by that is that I think for a while, digital photography sort of got stuck in this sort of thinking that the input tools, the data collection tools, weren't as great as they could be. In other words, early digital cameras just weren't what we wanted in terms of quality, okay? So we sort of got into this habit of doing the best that we could with our digital cameras, or maybe not even doing the best that we could with our digital cameras, just to get a file, and then spending a lot of time in post-production using Photoshop and all these you know, complicated tasks, working with layers and masks and doing, you know, three different types of sharpening and all this kind of stuff, to end up with an image that we felt was of photo quality. And that was what I call sort of the first generation of digital photography workflow. I think what we're seeing now in the new generation of digital photography is that the cameras are darn good. I on the last trip that I went on, for those of you that follow the digital story, you saw that I was shooting with a Canon 5D and a Canon Digital Rebel XT. And I say both of those capture devices are darn, darn good. And I was shooting RAW the whole time with both cameras, not doing anything really fancy, but I was paying attention to my photography technique. So if I were, for example, in a really bright situation that I wanted to be recorded brightly, I would do some exposure adjustment in camera. I would maybe add a stop or maybe add two stops of exposure at the time that I was taking the picture. There's one of the first shots that I ran was a shot of two old street signs in Cabo San Lucas. And I think it said Cabo San Lucas on one side and then Cinco de Mayo on the other side there. And the sign was white and there was a very, very bright background. So I actually worked the shot a little bit and ended up using a little bit of fill flash on the sign itself to help bring its exposure more in line with the very bright background exposure so that the final shot would be rendered more or less evenly. What I'm trying to say here is that I think kind of the second generation, the new generation of digital photography, is really paying more attention than we had before to how we capture the image. Okay, to making sure that our white balance is set correctly, to making sure that we're getting a good exposure, to making sure that if there is something that we need to change in the composition, that maybe we move our feet and adjust that composition so that we're actually recording the best image as possible, because now our tools are worthy of that. They're worthy of the work. It's worth it to put the work into capturing a good photo. The reward is for doing that is now with these new applications that we have, Lightroom, Aperture, Lightzone, is that they reward us by making it easy to put the final adjustments on our images, working right within the application, not having to have a clunky RAW workflow. We can take these RAW files, put them right in there, maybe do a little color balance work or a little cropping, whatever we need to do, and then moving on to the next shot and not having to go into Photoshop to do all sorts of, time-consuming adjustments just to get the picture the way that we want. And I think this is very exciting because what this means is now that we can spend more time thinking about taking pictures and less time, trying to make them look the way that we want them to look. The cameras will help us up front take the kind of shots that we want. And then now we can tear through the second part of the workflow and spend more time on making DVDs and spend more time on making great prints and spend more time on doing the really rewarding side of photography instead of just spending time trying to get the picture to look right. And now we can do this using RAW files. Now, the downside, of course, to RAW file work is what it has been in the past, in that they are still bigger files than JPEG. They take up more room on our memory cards, and they take up more room on our hard disk space. So if we're going to shoot RAW, and if we're going to take advantage of these great new tools and applications, then we will still have to make that adjustment. We're still going to have to get bigger memory cards. And right now I'm looking at, how can I upgrade the hard drive even within my computer so that I have more space to work with these things. But aside from that, it's really a lot easier now to shoot in this format. And the potential for greater quality is really terrific. Especially in contrasty scenes, and especially in scenes where there's a lot of, maybe shadow detail and things like that, you can get more of that information out when you shoot in the RAW format than you can with JPEG. And you don't have to go through the clunky workflow anymore. So kind of what the point of this show and what I really want you to start thinking about is that if you haven't been shooting RAW up until this point, maybe it's time to revisit it and look at these new applications. And if you're on the Mac platform, I encourage you to download Lightroom and play with it and see what you think. Shoot some raw files, play with them in Lightroom, and check out your new workflow. Build a new workflow and see how it works for you. And if you have Aputure, this is a fabulous application that's only going to get better. Same thing. Really delve into it and start thinking about how can I work faster and how can I end up with better pictures spending less time. And then the last thing, which is, of course, a big part of this show, is how can I take better pictures up front? And that includes improving your technique and possibly upgrading your camera now to new generation hardware that really does a great job of capturing data. Something to think about as we go into PMA, something to think about as Adobe continues to roll out its betas and Aputure continues to roll out new versions of its release. It might be time to switch to RAW. And if you're already shooting RAW, it might be time to re-examine your workflow. All right. Next week, I'm probably going to either come back to the ethics talk or talk about PMA. Not sure yet. We got all this stuff swirling around, and I'll try to make sure whatever I talk about is interesting to you. Happy shooting. Take a look at that RAW format, and let's reconvene next week. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.